to lay down a foundation for what we're going to be talking about the rest of this week, I'm going to give you one simple point, tell you one story, and draw one conclusion. Does that sound fair? All right, so here we go. First, I got to tell you something. I live in a constantly changing world. I live in a neighborhood that's constantly changing. I live in a family that's constantly changing. I work with beautiful young people, beautiful older people, and they're constantly changing. In short, my life is one, probably somewhat like your life, of constant change. And yet, my soul is hungry for something solid. Something that won't change. It can't change. My heart longs for a home that will always be there. That won't be here today and a block away tomorrow. My heart longs for answers that are as true yesterday and today and tomorrow. And why do I long for a sense of stability in a world that's constantly changing? Because I believe you and I were not created to wander. We learned to wander because I think you're probably familiar with the story. Thousands of years ago, our first mother, by the name of Eve, one day she wandered away from her husband, and that mistake was still paying the price of today. My soul continues to be on a quest to find not just joy, not just satisfaction, but something that's eternal. So I have a word for you tonight. And this word is going to last much of this week, so you must memorize it. The word is unconditional. There are certain realities on planet Earth that are dependent upon an external action. What do I mean? That makes no sense. Watch this. This is a rock, yeah? If I take this rock, obviously you see it's not too hot, it's not too cold. I'm holding it in my hand. If I take this rock and throw it into the fire, what will happen to the rock? It will get hot. So hot, in fact, so quickly that if I touched it, I would get burned. Great. If I take this rock out of the fire with tongs, put it in the freezer, what will happen to this rock? It will get cold. So cold, in fact, that I can potentially burn myself on a tree. If I take the same rock and throw it into the creek, it will get what? It would cool down, yes, and it will also get wet. Okay, so this rock's condition is based upon any number of actions that I can do. I can put it in the fire, it gets hot. I can put it in the water, it gets wet. I can put it in the freezer, it gets cold. So this is what we would call a conditional reality.
What if I take this same rock, hold it right like this, and let it go? What will happen? How do you know? Gravity. That's a very scientific answer. Have you ever tried it? Shall we try it? Wow, you're right. Question for you, though. If I take this same rock and throw it in the fire, and it gets hot, and then I hold it here, what will happen if I drop it, let go? It will drop? A hot rock drops. Is that what you're telling me? And a cold rock drops. If I get the rock wet, will the rock still drop? Okay, here's the point I'm trying to make to you tonight, and this lies at the very foundation of what we're going to talk about. Some things in life are based on conditions. The condition, I throw the rock, this condition is an action. I throw the rock into the fire, it gets hot. Some other things in life are not based on conditions at all. They're constants. They can't change. Like gravity. It could be a hot rock, It could be a cold rock. In fact, I could take this rock clear to space. And do you know what would happen if I let go of this rock clear in space? It floats. Only if it's doing what? Moving 100,000 miles. Only if it's orbiting. If I were to let this rock perfectly still, just like this, let this rock go in space, do you know where it would go? Straight down to Earth. Gravity is a constant. There are some principles in the Christian life that are conditional. And there are other principles in the Christian life that are constants, just like gravity. And it is my conviction that if we understand the principles in Christian life that are not conditional, that are constant, you know what they can gain for us? If we understand unconditional principles in Christian life, they can gain for us unconditional courage, unconditional strength, unconditional victory. Is there really any such thing as unconditional courage? Wouldn't it be awesome if you and I had the chance to live a life that was full and free and overflowing, even if the world was falling apart? If you had that chance, would you like to do it? Oh, okay, a few. Good. What if you had the chance to be happy, peaceful, joyous, and contented, even if your family was falling apart? Even if your best friend left you? Even if your favorite pet died? Would you want that kind of life? Amen. I want that kind of life too. And I have very good news for you this week. That life is in your reach. And that's what we're going to explore very briefly tonight. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight that some of you will find nearly impossible to believe. In fact, it is such a hard pill to swallow, figuratively speaking, that I would normally not tell anyone this on the first night. You know why? Because some things it seems like it would be better to wait until we're friends, until you know how much I love you, until you're sure, because we're friends and we've been friends all week, until you're sure that I would not lie to you. Well, I'm just going to tell you tonight, I'm not lying to you. And I'm telling you tonight because I want to tell you seven times before this week is over. Because if you understand this truth, then all kinds of other impossible gifts will follow in its train. So I'm taking a bit of a risk tonight, but I think that you and I will take this risk together, and in the end of the day, we will reap the blessings that we have, that God has in store. I am going to introduce you this week, do my best to introduce you to the most beautiful being in the entire universe. And I know some very beautiful beings. But I'm going to do my best to introduce you to the most beautiful being in the entire universe, and while I am doing that, I want to ask you three favors. I'm going to ask you these favors over and over again, so I need you to learn these two. Number one, listen. Why would I tell you to listen? Because you can sit here, and everyone sitting in this circle can hear me. But if the Word of God, which is power, is going to actually change our life, we need to more than hear it. We need it to enter into our consciousness. So, I promise you I'm not going to preach for a long time. Therefore, I want you to promise me that for 15 minutes, you'll listen really hard. And then I want to ask you to do a second thing. Number one, what did I ask you to do? Listen. Listen, which is more than hear. It's actually hearing and caring about what you hear. So number one is listen. The second thing I want you to do is think. Go figure. Once again, I can set a beautiful table. I can prepare a meal for you. I can set it right in front of you. But if you don't actually take a bite and eat, what good did all that food do? So I'm going to do my best to present to you, to introduce you to my best friend. I want you to listen. And then when we go from this place each night, I want you to think. Because ultimately, I don't know exactly the situation in your heart, in your life, but somebody does. And that somebody is desirous above all else of giving you life and liberty and joy unspeakable. So think, when we part ways, it would be very easy to get back into a giggling mood. But I think that if a gift is worth considering, it's worth thinking about. Listen, think, and then when you go back to your units, when you go back to your tents, I want you to pray. Those three things. If you do listen, think, and pray, I will do my best to present the truth in a clear and concise manner so that I'm not keeping you up all night. Is that a deal? All right. So number one is? Number two is? And number three is? You are very good students. Let's dive right into the Word of God. Once upon a time, there was a boy. And this boy had a father, as all boys do. And he had this idea. It was a wild idea, but boys get wild ideas sometimes, so that, I suppose, is not very much of a surprise. He had this idea, though, that was unfortunate and that was destined to cost him everything. Now I want to pause here a moment and ask you what seems like a silly question. It's not a silly question. I need you to think here. What is it that makes a son a son? Is that too complicated? How do you become a son? By being born. Did you hear him? You become a son by being born. Does that seem utterly simplistic? But it's absolutely true. How do you unbecome a son? You can't. You can't. Keep that thought in the back of your mind. Now let's go back to my story. So this boy, he has this big idea. He gets this big idea that it would be fun to wander away from his father's house. This story is found in Luke chapter 15, and you all are familiar with the story, but if you have your Bible, open to Luke 15 and follow along. We're starting in verse 17. He decided one day it would be fun to wander. He had had enough of the way he was living in his father's house, all this restraint, too many rules, and he was going to set out on a journey that he felt like would be his final liberation. He was going to be free. So he did. But of course, we know the story didn't end so well. And one day he comes to himself in verse 17 of Luke 15. He came to himself and he said, he was in the pigsty feeding pigs. And he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants in my father's house have all this food to eat? They don't work nearly as hard as I do. What am I thinking? I will arise and go back to my father. And I will tell him, now listen to his words. This is what the boy is thinking. This gives us a very interesting picture into his mind. I will tell him, Father, I have sinned against heaven. I have sinned before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Remember, how do you become a son? By being born. How do you unbecome a son? That's not a word, but you can't. But this boy is saying, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. Make me one of your hired servants. So the boy gets this speech all prepared, and he sets out on a long journey, and he goes towards home. And then what does the scripture say? Verse 20, he arose, he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had, what does your Bible say? He had compassion on him, and he ran, and he fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to the father, Father, I have sinned. His little prepared speech, remember? I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And what did the father say to him? Does your Bible say? What did he say? What did the father say to him? The father didn't say anything to him. Instead, the father yells over his shoulder, bring forth the best robe and put on him, put a ring on his hand, put shoes on his feet, bring the fatted calf and kill it. We will eat and be merry. My son was dead. He is alive again. He was lost and he's found. And they began to have a party. Couple questions. How was it that the father saw him coming a great way off? He was watching. How long had the son been gone? We don't know exactly, but it very well could have been years. This father was living his life at the end of the driveway, waiting for his boy. I don't know how many days he waited there, but it was a long, long time. And yet, though his boy delayed for what could have been forever, the father was there. Tuck that thought into the back of your mind, too. Second question. Review here. What did the father answer when the boy comes up with his whole prepared speech? I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. The father says, nothing. Bring me the fatted calf. Let's make a party. My son is come home again. And they began, the Bible says, to make merry. And the smoke is hard on the eyes. That's why the crying, not any other reason. Why? Why? What makes a boy a boy? What makes a son a son? What makes a daughter a daughter? Being born. And you can't unbe born. To the father, it was a ridiculous idea that his son, coming home, should just be a servant. Like, how could that even be? So ridiculous, he didn't even answer it. He was just like, huh. Now, what happened here? The older son, what's his response? Older son is just plain mad. He's been at home this whole time, slaving away on the plantation. Now he sees his brother come back home and he says, you should make him one of the hired servants. Why is this whole party? You never threw me a party. What is going on? This is not fair. And the father said to him in verse 31 of that same chapter, son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. In other words, I gave him his inheritance. All of this land, all of these vineyards, all of these servants, they're yours anyway. And then he said, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Question for you. Do you know that you are the son of the highest? Do you know that you are a daughter of the holy God? And do you know he's claimed you? He's called you by name. You are his creation. You are his by creation. You are his by redemption. He made you first, and then we walked away. Then he paid for you again. You're his. We are his by creation, by redemption, by adoption. We're his three times over. And what makes a son a son? And what makes a daughter a daughter? You belong to God, and that fact is, where's my rock? Unconditional. You can throw the rock in the fire. You can throw it in the creek. You can put it in the freezer. You can throw it into space. You still belong to him. You still belong to him. We have been trained to believe that our acceptance with God is conditional upon some kind of performance. Wrong. Hideously wrong. Totally wrong. Now then, I don't want you to go back to your tent and say, oh, finally, Mr. Neblett said we don't have to obey, and we don't need the law, and we don't need salvation, because we're accepted of God. That is not what I said. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that in Isaiah 1, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. though your sins be as what? Do you know the verse? Though your sins be as, wait, he says, did he say fix your sins? Fix your sins and then come. Is that what he said? He said, come even though you have sins as what? Scarlet. Is that the only place? Matthew 11 and verse 28 says something very similar. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Did he say, get rid of your burdens and then come to me? No. He said, all you who have burdens, you come. You come. Not get rid of your burden first. Hebrews 7:25 says something similar. He says, wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. Let me tell you something about the God that I serve. Over 200 times in the scripture, you will hear, I'm scared these are going to get stepped on. Over 200 times in Scripture, you will hear the phrase, my people. Most of those times, those people that belong to God were misbehaving. Why am I telling you all this? Some of you have undoubtedly been taught by some authority in your life somewhere that your worth is based on your performance. That how much you are valued by holy God is based on how hot you are, how long you've been in the fire, or how wet you are, or how cold you are. Wrong. That's not what my Bible says. Again, is obedience an important thing? Yes or no? Yes. Yes. But do the things that you do alter how much you are worth to the holy God? No. That's what my Bible says. Your worth in the eyes of a holy and loving God is not based on your performance any more than the worth and value that the Father placed in that Son was based on his performance. It isn't based on your past. Your worth is not based on your potential. Your worth is based on your birth. If you were born, then you are priceless to God. Once a son or daughter, always a son or daughter. If you were born, you are priceless. Now, I recognize that in a group this size, there are certainly some whose life experience has not taught them anything like that. Unfortunately, we share a planet home with other human beings who, though like us, they often do the absolute best that they know how. They sometimes misrepresent the character of God quite poorly, like we do. My plea to you is this tonight. If you have had an experience in your life that has taught you to define how much you are worth in the sight of God by what you have done or by what you think you can accomplish, hear me and hear Scripture. God is not like the human family in this way. He works off of a completely different scale. One word tonight. Unconditional. Unconditional what? Here is the lesson I want you to take home from Scripture tonight. And remember, this is not the whole story. This is one little step, just the first step. You are a child of the living God. And you might spend half a lifetime seeking another master, seeking an allegiance other than God, as did the young man in our story. it doesn't matter. In the eyes of God, you still belong to him. Because you're his son. Because you're his daughter. Unconditional truth number one for tonight. You and I unconditionally belong to the Lord of glory. Do you know what that means? That means we always have a home to go back to. That means even if we have wandered, even if we have strayed, there is a Father waiting at the end of his driveway for us to come back home. My question for you and my question for myself tonight is this. Do you want to start that journey? Is that kind of Father the kind of Father you can trust? Three requests as you go back to your camp tonight. Two requests. You've done the one. Listen. Think. And pray. God desires to reintroduce himself to us tonight. And it starts with understanding how he loves. This is just a glimmer. It is just one sliver of the pie. And as the week rolls on, we will find out more and more and more about God. But for tonight, one thing. We unconditionally belong to the Lord God Almighty. To a loving Father who's waiting for us to come back home. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, tonight it is with awe and wonder that we pause and ponder a love that we don't understand. A love that is that we as a human family often fail to exhibit. We've explored just a sliver of that love tonight. And I pray that this sliver of truth would lodge deeply in our hearts so that as we study more about your unconditional love and how that can actually bring unconditional power to our lives, power to be transformed, power to obey, I pray that all these things would fit together in our lives, not just in our minds, but actually in our experience. Some of these things are difficult to believe, perhaps, if we have been told lies to the contrary all of our life, but I pray that you would make each of us brave to believe and then open our eyes to understand the truth about who you are and how you love. This is my prayer for myself and my friends tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.